Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wow, praise the Lord. Good to have you today at the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. It's good to be among the living.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be among the living. Yeah, praise the Lord. Wow. So anyway, Cheryl's got some testimonies. It's amazing. Some of you know the last few days, the last couple of weeks, has been kind of unique at our house. You know, I went to bed one night or one afternoon with a terrible pain, and the pain got worse. And I always said I thought I had enough faith to make it without ever going to a doctor, but I found out that I didn't. I'm telling you, my faith, my pain got to a point where I couldn't stand it anymore, so I had to go to a doctor. And when I went to a doctor...
And you took me with you.
And I took Cheryl with me. And she drove me, praise the Lord. But anyway, it's nice to have somebody to help you when you need help.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I had a good wife that took me to the hospital, and I'm glad that... Like I've said a lot of times, it's a good thing we have good doctors, because if we didn't have, some of us would already be dead.
Amen.
And so I had a good doctor, but I still get tickled at that guy. If you've never had anything like this, I never had. I've had some pain, some excruciating pain, but usually it's only for a few minutes. Never did I have an 18-hour siege of it. You know, and then turn around and do 8 more hours. So it was a little tough. But I thought I was tougher than I was, but I didn't make it. So anyway, that night, the morning of whatever time it was that they were finally going to get to the surgery, when they found out I had 2 twisted intestines. And that's what was causing all the pain. When this one doctor walked up to me there, I was laying there on my back. He said, "Is there anything I can do to help you?" I said, "Doc, if you can do something to take away this pain, I would be forever grateful." I said, "I have had excruciating pain." I said, "Is there anything you can do to help me?" I didn't realize they were fixing to do surgery in just a few minutes. And he put this thing in the IV and said, "In 10 seconds, you won't even know what hit you." And that's the last thing I remember for 4 hours. And when I woke up, and 4 hours later, I was in a room. I was calling for Cheryl. I had no idea that they had cut me open, taken my intestines out, laid them up on my sides, washed out my inside of my cavity, and put all that stuff back in there. And I'm back in business.
With clean intestines.
Maybe I'm about half tough. I don't know, because Friday morning, they done that surgery, and then Sunday afternoon, I was in this pulpit again teaching the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
So, praise the Lord.
It's the anointing, honey.
Anyway, it didn't kill me. I still made it. So you're going to have to put up with me a little longer. So anyway, in all that, and when you say, "Well, I was in terrible shape, I couldn't do anything," in all of that, as Cheryl and I was laying there in the bed together, she's reading prayer requests, and we're praying for these people. These are some of the requests that we got answered while we were out, if you say it. So, you know, even though you may have had major surgery and you're in a bed in a hospital, you can still be productive for the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing? Well, anyway, she's going to read you some of these testimonies that results we've got from some of these people that we prayed for while we were down ourselves. Okay, honey.
This lady's from Australia. She said, thank you for the recent DVD I received from the Living Savior Ministry. It was called Are You As Righteous As God from June the 9th. I have viewed it twice so far and consider myself blessed to receive such excellent teaching. You and your wife, Cheryl, Dave Rosenfeld, Sharon, and your entire ministry are heartwarming and so very real. We in the body of Christ are in uncharted waters in this world that is so different from the one we knew from childhood. May God bless you beyond your imaginings. Shalom.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, this lady wrote us, she was going to the hospital to pray, they're in Canada, and the Native Americans. We're going to the hospital to pray for Wet'suwet'en First Nation member. She's had major surgery and infection set in. She's on an IV of antibiotics, and she advised my sister that her blood is backing up into the IV bag. She is scared, as her nurse is also concerned. She didn't take her mother with her because she felt she was too vulnerable. I asked for your powerhouse intercessory prayer. Thank you. God bless you. This was on July the 4th. And the young lady that was in the hospital, I see what day, wrote, guess what, Maureen? I went 15 hours pain-free. Couldn't believe it. Doctor let me go home Friday, and he's monitoring me from a near hospital. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Where am I starting? Someone had a question, although I don't know why I have it highlighted. They wanted to know, they had a question about, she met with her friend Lila, who's 96 years old. 95, excuse me, and some others yesterday for a Bible study. The question came up, if we can forgive the sins of others, John 20:23. Lila wanted me to ask you about that. She doesn't understand completely how we could do that or if that's what the verse means. She said they need to confess their sins to God for forgiveness. She wanted you to clear that up for her. He wrote back, John 20:23 means exactly what it says. You have the power to forgive sins. Since Jesus lives in you and we are God on this earth, Jesus Christ is in us. Therefore, we are God. And then I sent her a whole bunch of links to listen to. So what originally happened, though, there was this young man named Jacob that we prayed for. And I think he ended up getting out of some kind of a rehab center or something. But it had been a challenging year here for us with all the things that's happened. But we clearly see God intervening. Praise the Lord. My son Jacob, I mentioned you prayed for him before, but I don't expect you to remember. He's overcoming a terrible night. A month ago, he was with a couple of friends, close friends of our family. They were looking at guns, and Tony, a friend, grabbed a .44 mag pistol, put a single bullet in it, spun the revolver, held the gun up under his chin, and pulled the trigger. He wasn't so lucky and died instantly. Right there in front of Jacob and his friend Dusty. Jake tried to do CPR on him but knew it was too late. They had been drinking that night and that was what we had prayed for him. He had a drinking issue. So it makes it all the worse. And since Tony, the young man that died, lost his dad, he was like a nephew to Scott and I. Such a tragic sense of death. And Jake's trying to get his life straightened out and I can see God is at work. Tony had a lot of death in his life. So, I guess, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, so we prayed for Jacob, and it's done. Then she wrote back, let's see, 6 days later and said, thank you, Pastor, praise the Lord. I have to tell you, Jacob's been doing a 10-day detox fast and told me he's going to get his act together. He got a call today from Midwest Aviation Marshall, and they want to hire him full-time. He'll be helping with some groundwork, learning mechanics, flying for parts to build his hours. He starts in a couple of weeks. Thank you for your prayers. God is so good. And so that was just great to hear that the young man's going to do better. You never know.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Praise God. Okay. We had a pastor who's been writing us, Pastor Daniel, for his mother, Albani Dunning, and she's been having trouble with her appetite and keeping her food down and phlegm coming up, different things. We've prayed for her various times. Anyway, we were in agreement with his prayer request. He wrote on the 20th, we wrote back on the 23rd, and that same day he wrote and said, Pastor Thurman, praise the Lord, Jesus showed up and he answered our prayers of agreement. Mom's at 100% or at her breakfast, 100% her lunch, and most all her dinner, and she drank about 4 small containers of grape juice. She did not cough the phlegm afterwards as in the past. She's healed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, mighty man of God, for your prayers. You are a blessing, and God has put us together for a reason. My mother, our church, and I personally thank you, and we pray God bless you back 100-fold in Christ's love. Brother Daniel, Gospel of Peace Church.
Amen.
I think we were in the hospital at that point. That was the day after his surgery. And I say we.
I mean to tell you.
Okay, this one is better. It's not perfect, but this boy, Arius William, in his, for the first email, she wrote about her son, Arius, that he's sick with mental illness, has no relief from medications, many hospital admissions, and she's looked for healing, and son's gotten worse, hitting his head and aggressive to others. Pastor Thurman, after you prayed for him and asked the Lord for his mercy, after a few months, he improved. He has no aggression. He's not hitting his head now. Arius covers his ears, holds his forehead, closes his eyes, and he said that, and her husband, there was another thing that was going on. Her husband was not doing what he should do. He was going with some ladies. He was bitter and angry, and that's probably brought a lot of this on this young man. And so she said that her husband's a Jew. He received the Lord 3 times. He said, I ask God for his forgiveness, and I ask you to forgive me. And she said, Pastor, I already did. So she's asking for help with her son's complete deliverance. And also a supervisor from the group home called to say he was missing. Nobody noticed that he left at 4 a.m., but the police found him. God covered him under his wings. And she's writing the message crying for help. I know you understand my pain. He's 23 years old. So for Arius William, Lord, we ask you to completely deliver that young man. All those evil spirits to leave him. Okay, this lady's from India. She's been writing for a while. She's been finding out what her sins are. And so she's written, she had all this breakout over her hands, her face. She has rashes on the edge of my palm, in between my fingers, which made my hand very rough. Whenever I wash my hand, it used to itch and feel more rough. And I've been watching your healing school on YouTube and you know, she's also been writing, praying for healing. So today, as I'm in the bathroom taking a head bath, applying shampoo on my hair, I felt my palms were very rough and too much of my hair falling out. While I was doing this, I was praying, God, please heal me. I don't want to be sick and tormented, but what is it which is stopping it? Then a thought came in my mind, bitterness and unforgiveness toward my mother-in-law. I remembered it since last month onwards when my bitterness and unforgiveness began so strong that I did not want to see her face. And since then, I've been suffering from this disease, and I'm just fed up with the same as it's on my face, hands, and head, and scalp. I immediately cried out to God, God, please, I don't want to be sick and tormented by bitterness and unforgiveness. I forgive her for her wrongdoings. I forgive her, Lord. While I was saying this in my mind, I was simultaneously rubbing both my palms together and immediately realized that there was no roughness on my palms. Roughness and rashes had gone. I cried, gave thanks to the Lord, and so praise the Lord for that.
Okay.
And then she also wrote back, she did write back, and we had written her, telling her what the things she had and what caused it, about a lot of skin disease have to do with self-bitterness, self-hatred, same thing for hair loss. And so we wrote her and said, God commands that you love yourself. It's a sin if you don't love yourself. Repent for not loving yourself and promise God that you will love yourself from this day forward. You're a daughter of the King of the Universe. You're a princess royalty. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. Send her some links. We prayed. It's done. She said, thank you, Pastor, for your words and prayers. A week ago, I was quite depressed, feeling heartbroken about myself and my messed up future, as in a failure in every aspect of my life, whether personal, professional, family. It's then my itches and rashes became severe, but today your mail made me realize my mistake. I've asked God to forgive me. From now on, I will love myself because I know God loves me, and he has really made me a beautiful woman, and I thank God for creating me beautifully, and I know God has given me this disease to draw me close to him, and in faith, I've stopped taking medicine as I am healed. Okay, this is the last one, and this is from Johannesburg, South Africa. We're going around the country, honey. Around the world. Okay, this young man first wrote July the 4th. My name is Ron Singh from Johannesburg, South Africa, to be politically correct, South African of Indian origin. I got to hear you and your teachings via YouTube. I love the messages you deliver, especially when you say you guarantee everyone who learns to put God first that he can claim the promises that God's made. I'm a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe he died on the cross for my sins. I've been a witness to many of God's healings. I've seen the lame walk, the blind see, and very sick healed. I'm writing to you today because I need a miracle, and I humbly request that you personally pray for me. 2015, I was diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis on my right leg. I recently lost my mom, and before she passed, she asked me to go and see a cardiologist. This concerned me for a time. Finally, I got the courage. I did go see the doctor. After running a few tests, my cardiologist advised me to do an angiogram to make 100% certain that everything was fine. However, while in the procedure, it was discovered I had a few blockages in my arteries. My doctor then proceeded to put in stents, unable to complete the task due to calcification, the hardening of the arteries. I was sent home the next day, advised the next step would either be a heart bypass, change of diet, and exercise. And I also have an enlarged prostate and warts, and all the above is placing me under enormous stress. To make matters worse, 3 years ago I resigned from a job to open my own business, import-export, and to date I failed to earn 1 cent, and my business just has not been successful. I'm under tremendous pressure regarding health and financial affairs, and after listening to your many teachings, it's clear, and I now understand the promises that God has made. I firmly believe that the Lord will heal me and provide for me financially, and Pastor, I humbly request that you pray for me and my family. He has a wife, 2 children, and that God has mercy on me and delivers me from the illness and financial problems. And he quoted some scriptures, and I believe that God wants us to know he's here to help, guide, and deliver us. All we have to do is pray, have faith, it will be done. And Pastor Thurman, I thank you and trust you will personally pray for me on my health issues, for my business to flourish. I know that you will guarantee me this request, as all things are possible with God. May the Lord bless you, your family, and Living Savior Ministries. I look forward to my deliverance. We wrote, we prayed, and it's done. Praise the Lord. And he wrote back the next day, "Dear Pastor Thurman, thank you for taking the time to pray for me and my family during this difficult time. Thank you for your kindness and strength you give me each day after I listen to your teachings on YouTube. Pastor Thurman, you have been such a blessing to me. You have changed my life, and I give thanks to the Lord. I am already beginning to see God at work, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You inspire me daily, and your sermons are very uplifting. You are the best pastor in the world." Yeah. You are the best pastor in the world. As you've helped me in my walk with God, thank you so much. And please always keep me and my family in your prayer. God bless you abundantly, and we'll stay in touch.
Amen.
Nobody would have any idea I was laying down myself, and I needed prayer. So not even concerned about yourself, you just pray for others.
Amen.
Now then, if you don't pray, can God answer the prayer?
No.
That's the one thing about God. You have to realize, if you don't pray, he can do nothing.
Amen.
But if you do pray, and there's nothing impossible with him. I want Cheryl to read Ephesians 3:20. I want to introduce you to this awesome God. He is beyond your wildest dreams. And so don't ever come to me and tell me, "Well, I don't feel good, so I can't pray this week." Don't ever tell me that.
"Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us."
Wow. Just think, who lives in us?
Jesus.
Why can we remit sin? Because Christ lives in you, the hope of glory. And if you pray and you believe, what is impossible with God?
Nothing.
Now, what if you don't pray? I remember a guy that came to work on our forklift one time years ago down at the airport. I walked back there, I said, son, do you know Jesus? He said, who? I said, Jesus. I said, he's God. He said, oh, yeah. He said, me and God, we got a... I said, do you go to church? And he says, me and God got a deal. I said, yeah, son, God, he wrote the book, and that's the deal, and there ain't no other deal. And so I said, if he told you to go to church, he plans for you to go to church. He says, you don't have to go to church. I said, do you like to be blessed? Do you like to get answers to your for things that you do when you work? He said, well, of course. I said, well, you ain't going to get it unless you ask God. Amen. You know, people think they can be blessed without God, but they're fooling themselves.
Yeah.
You know, without God, you can't do anything.
Amen.
You can't even take a breath.
Yes.
I mean, you say you think you're going to be blessed. You don't even know what the word means to be blessed. You just don't know. You really just don't know what it means to be blessed. And if you don't ask God, I think about that story about Mike in the pen and the time of year, to think about a big old strong boy like him that can pick up hundreds of pounds. And by the way, the other day when we went up there to the doctor's office for my test, they told me to come back for this post-operational test in a week. So we went up there, and the girl, she said, well, let me check your blood pressure. So I said, okay. So she checked my blood pressure, and when she got through checking me, and then they got through finishing, I said, well, how's everything going? She said, for 1 week out of major surgery, you are the perfect picture of health.
Amen.
I said, wow. Yeah, I can tell you we got that done without no prayer, huh? Do you think I'm telling you the truth?
No,
we got it done by lots of prayer.
Amen.
And the more you pray, and all of y'all that prayed for me, I am so grateful for every one of you. Because you people here in this church realize and know the importance of prayer.
Amen.
And if you don't pray... And when you pray, you got to remember it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
Right.
Dave made that very clear a while ago. It's all about Jesus. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And so when we pray, that God is in us, and he answers our prayer.
Amen.
And let me tell you, when you've been down, face down, like Cheryl and I were face down, I'm telling you, at times... And when we prayed, and you get to see what God can do in answering these prayers, it's like these people, some of them are halfway around the world. I mean, in other parts, now, that God that we're talking about, now, he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. So do you think somebody comes up and says, well, Thurman, we got this man over here in India or wherever. We got a man here or his wife or his children or whatever. We got all these problems. So what can we do? Well, we can't do nothing. Is that true?
No.
As long as you can utter, and you don't even have to be able to speak your prayer out loud.
Right.
You can think it. But if you think it, it'll work. Because if you have not been, and most people, unfortunately, on this earth, most people, even some of you that are in this room today, have never been introduced to the true living God. You've heard about him, but you've never experienced him.
Amen.
I mean, to experience him, You will do the impossible.
Yes.
Because he's in you and he's doing the impossible through you.
Yes.
And you can't miss it up. But I just think whenever we went up there and for that post-op test, when she checked my blood pressure, I told her, I said, you know, my blood pressure is going to be 120 over 70. And it is amazing how it was almost that. And after she checked me and everything, she said, "Wow, you are the girl in the ICU, or not in the ICU, but in the doctor's office." She said, "You're a perfect picture of health."
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, here I am fixing to be, well, not very far off of 80, just a little ways off of 80. And I think I'm really just barely getting wound up. Me and Mike have learned the truth now. He learned that he thought he was a big old strong boy. I thought I was a big old strong boy myself. And we found out both of us can't do a single thing without Jesus. Without Jesus, you can't do nothing. So if I'd asked him before this happened, "Mike, do you think that you had any help from God to pull that pin out of that timing chain?" He'd have said, "Pastor, that's a piece of cake. Look at me here. I'm 50 years old, and I'm strong, and I'm young, and I'm healthy. And I don't need no help from nobody to pull that pin out of that timing here. I can do that all on my own." Now that sounds like us talking. I've been there and done that, hadn't you, Mike? I've been where I thought I was doing something. So whenever he went out there that day to pull that pin out of that timing here, I mean, a simple little pin that just pushed in there by fingers, it's loose in the hole. Loose in the hole. And he goes out there and he starts to pull, get everything lined up, start to pull it out. And this big old strong boy can't pull the pin out. Okay, so I know what we do. When Mike can't do it and I can't do it, we go get Baron and he'll do it. Now then, there's no comparison in the way he looks and the way we look. Because he's a big boy. So, and before Baron learned this, you'd ask him, he'd have said, "Well, of course I can pull that pin out. I don't need no help from nobody. I can do that on my own." Until he reached up to grab it to pull it out, and he can't pull it out. Then he found out, I can't pull it out. Just like Mike said, he couldn't pull it out. So anyway, finally, his lovely wife come out and said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I can't pull this pin out this time of year." She said, "Have you prayed?" Yeah. "Of course not. I'm a man. I can do all things. I don't need no help. Ain't that right? I'm a big boy. I can fix that air conditioner all on my own. I don't need no help from God." That's the way we think. That's the way we think. So he pulls the pin. And let me show you, honey. It's just a little simple pin. This is where you pull it out. But he pulls and it don't come out. God is fixing to show his son that he can't do a thing. You can't do not one single thing without him. He messed with that pen and he messed with that pen, and his wife kept saying, "Well, honey, are you going to pray?" "I don't need to pray. I can pull this pen out all by myself. I'm a big, strong boy. I don't need no help." So finally, after pulling the hide off of that brain, everything, and just doing everything, and he can't even budge that simple little pin, which is loose in the hole. So finally his wife said, "Well, we're going to stay here all night, or you're going to pray?" He humbled himself and said, "Okay, we'll pray." And they prayed, and he reached up and grabbed that. Now that with God's help, that pin just fell out. Isn't that something? That taught Mike a lesson. When Baron broke his leg, picking up 727 pounds, his leg actually popped in two with all that weight. And the doctors knew he was ruined. He'll never recover fully, never be able to pick up that kind of weight again. But he went to the Lord.
Yes.
The Master of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. And he prayed in faith, believing that he would fix that. And that knee was fixed. And in a matter of weeks, he was picking up enormous weights. And here just recently he went to the national meet and he picked up 727 pounds and won the national meet for the United States of America. All because he knows Jesus. And he'll be the first to tell you, if somebody wants to know how he can do this, it's Jesus. There's no other one that caused me to do these wonderful things. So when you realize that, then when you get to where you know this God, when you really get to where you know him, you will pray about everything. Everything. You don't want to do anything without prayer. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Don't even try to pull a pin out of a timing gear without thanking the Lord, right, Mike? Everything. Do everything with his help. And if you will, I can tell you, in the business world and the engineering world that I used to be in, I can think of just a few of the times that I've asked the Lord about something. And it's amazing how that people go through their day. People live in a place where they really don't live there. They exist there. You don't live in Jesus. I mean, you know, without him, you exist without him for a little while, and then you get to die and go to hell. Wouldn't that be awful? After what he's done on that cross. After what he's done. And to think that you wouldn't accept him as Lord and Savior. And it's so simple. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And he will in no wise turn you away. He will save your soul. And then you will be introduced to this God that can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can think or imagine. The only secret is to start studying the Word, reading the Word, listening to the Word. As you listen to the Word, and that power that's working in you. I mean, just to give you a quick little story. Some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. Some of you have heard it several times. We had at the airport where I used to work, I walked in one morning about 7 o'clock, and the VP came running to me and said, "Thurman, you've got to go down there and see what happened to the boilers. We've been dead in the water. We've been without dry steam all night for hours. We're dead in the water. You got to get something done." So I go walking down to the boiler room, walked in, and Dan and Neil, my two best men, I said, "Boys, what's wrong?" They said, "Thurman, we don't know." I said, "We've never seen a boiler carry over like this boiler carries over." But said, "In 15 minutes, we can fill it up with fresh water. In 15 minutes, it'll be dry." We went through a quick cycle. I looked at that and I said, "I've never seen anything like this either." Now, I've been an engineer for a long time and I know how boilers work, but I've never seen anything like this. But if I happen to be a son of God, amen. Who does know about this?
Oh, Lord.
The one that can do exceedingly. He knows. So I just said, "Father," right in the middle of the big boiler room, I said, "Father, in Jesus' name, my company's down. I need to know what's wrong with these boilers. Thank you for the answer in Jesus' name." When I said that just that quick, as soon as I said thank you, he said, "Son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it." I called Dan and I said, "Boys, come over here. Break those condensate return lines right there and break them. Let the condensate run out on the floor." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Don't ask me no questions. Just do what I tell you." See, now that when God gives you the answer, does he ever make a mistake?
Never.
If he said, "My condensate is contaminated, dump it," what do you think he means for me to do?
Dump it.
In other words, you know, that's just like, I got so tickled. a woman, and Cheryl didn't read this to you, but it was in one of those reports. It says, I read in the Bible where it says that I have to submit to my husband. So I went to my pastor and asked him what that meant. He said, it doesn't mean what it says. So I went to a woman in the church, and I told her, I said, what about this here? It says I have to submit to my husband. She said, that's not what that means.
Oh, no.
So she said, Pastor Thurman, I'd like to ask you, what does that mean? I said, ma'am, that's real simple. If God says it's black, it's black. If God said it's red, it's red. If God said it's blue, it's blue. You don't try to have to interpret what God's word says. If it says, husbands, you must love your wife like Christ loved the church, that's what he means.
Amen.
He doesn't mean do it on every other Sunday. He means all the time. And I said, if he says there, if you don't answer your prayer, if you don't love your husband, don't love the wife like Christ loved the church, he won't answer your prayer. I said, he means exactly what he says. I said, don't try to interpret or figure out what the Bible says. If the Bible says something, just take it at face value and believe what it says.
Amen.
And if we would do that, can you imagine a pastor and then a woman, an older woman in the church, tell a woman that reads in the Bible, God clearly says, wives, submit to your own husbands in everything. But that don't mean what that says. So then pray tell, what does it mean? I mean, how would you answer a question like that if you're on this end while you're face down trying to recover from a hernia surgery when somebody asks you a question like that? You know what that almost does to me? Anger and rage causes hernia. It almost causes me to get angry. I'm not going to get angry. But you can understand how that could make you angry, right? I mean, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God said do things in his word, and we, especially when a pastor and an elder woman in the church turns right around and tells a woman that just read that, a young woman that just read in her Bible, wives, submit to your own husband in everything. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then you turn around and tell them as a pastor, that's not what it means. Can you imagine why the church is so messed up today? I mean, that's almost as good as the one. I mean, I remember the very first Sunday in Dallas that I preached John 20:23. Boy, nobody said nothing. Quiet as a mouse till next Sunday. And then all kinds of people come back and said, I had never heard that verse preached on in my life, never. So I went to my pastor, to another church I go to, and I asked him what it meant. What do you do with this? They said, well, Pastor Thurman's lost his mind.
Oh, no.
He's interpreting that totally incorrectly. But what does it say? John 20:23, what does it say? You know, if the Word of God says that you have the power to forgive sin, and you don't forgive that sin, then guess what kind of trouble that person's going to be in? But let me tell you what. If you want to see good, wonderful things happen, when you go to pray for somebody, and that's the first thing, I'm completely convinced that is one of the reasons that Cheryl and I get such a tremendous answer to prayer for all these people all over the world. The very first thing that we do is we remit their sins. We remit the sins of the person. We remit the sins of their spouse. Everything. Because is there any lack of sin?
No,
there's plenty of sin out there. Guaranteed there's plenty of sins. So we want to remit her sins. We want to remit his sins. And then as soon as we get that sin remitted in the throne room of God, we know we have power over the devil. So we immediately command the spirits of hell to leave that family or that man or that woman or that child. We command those spirits to get out and go away. And then we ask for what we want while the throne room is clean.
Amen.
On the cross, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil.
Amen.
I mean, it's done. You know, I mean, all power and all authority. In fact, I'm going to do a little editing this week if I get time to make it all work like I want to this week. I had a lady, I believe it was a lady.
No, it was a man.
A man, okay. That,
he heard you on the radio.
Yeah, he heard me on the radio somewhere. I don't know where it was. But was that in the Northeast or where was it?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I was teaching on the cross, and I made a mistake on that teaching, and so instead of changing it, I just pulled it, and I just thought, well, I'll change it someday later. Well, somebody really heard that on the radio the other day. I don't have any idea. I've been putting stuff on the radio for years, so I have no idea where it came from. But they wanted a copy of that CD. And so, anyway, I got it, made a copy of it, and I listened to it. And I said, I know there's a mistake in this thing somewhere, and I can't remember what it is, so I'll just listen to it. So I listened to it twice. I found the mistake both times. So this week, I'm going to let Dave listen to it and see if he finds the problem. And if he picks up on the problem, then I'm going to edit it, take that one part out that I don't want in there, and then I'm going to send it to these people. Because if there's anything we need to know, it's what Jesus did on the cross for you. I don't think we understand. I know we don't understand. If I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that all power and all authority has been given to me over everything Satan tries to do to me, if I walk in love, I can speak anything in his word in power and get me an answer.
Amen.
If I can just walk in love. Did you know that's a pretty tough place to walk?
Yeah, it is.
Trying to stay in that love walk. But if you knew, well, I'll just give you an example. This lady, I told you all this here a while back. But this lady, her husband was at a house I was at, and down in Central Texas. And we talked about Jesus. Naturally, if you're going to be around me, you're going to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
You know that, right?
Amen.
Ain't nothing else to talk about.
Amen.
Now, the weather, you know. Well, the only thing for us is the weather, Lord. This week, we sure would appreciate, since you said we have dominion and authority,
yes.
We would appreciate you sending us about.
Amen.
Peggy says we need 4 inches of rain.
Amen.
So, Lord, send us about 4 inches of rain this week to rain all over this area so we have a nice rain. Is that right?
Amen.
We have all dominion and all authority. So, Lord, we've ordered our rain this week. Now, we thank you for our rain. Is everybody going to be in agreement with me that we're going to have 4 inches of rain this week? Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the rain. So it's going to rain. It's going to rain good in Jesus' name. But anyway, this woman, I'm talking to her and her husband and this other couple. And he didn't say anything. He's just listening. So we finally get back to the house, and he tells his wife that I'm going on home. They'd met there in two different vehicles. So he got in his vehicle and left. She said, "Sir, I know that you have studied this book because I've never seen anybody that can talk about as many things in the Bible as you do." She said, "I know my husband told you he's a Christian." But she said, "I think," she said, "she's lived with him for 25 years said he's not a very nice Christian. Any of y'all know people like that?
Yes.
That say they're Christian, but they don't act like a Christian because they've never met the real Savior of the real cross. They don't know him. They really don't know him. They may have experienced him enough to get to heaven, but they don't know him. So anyway, she said, I know my husband said he was a Christian, but said he doesn't act like it. 25 years we've been married. He's not a very nice guy. And I said, well, I said, hey, are you a Christian? She said, well, of course. I said, do you know that you have, I said, those are just evil spirits. And I said, do you not know that you have all authority and all the power over those spirits and they have to obey you? She says, what are you talking about? And I said, well, see, I said, the same thing's wrong with you. It's wrong with everybody else. Because of your lack of knowledge of God's word, the devil's beating up on you. I said, you have been given all power and all authority to a God that can do exceedingly
abundantly
above all. I mean, who are we dealing with here? So I said, you know, if you realize who you're dealing with, I said, you know, you'll do something in faith. So I said, why don't we, I said, those spirits of anger and bitterness and everything else, all these spirits that are causing a problem in your home and this foul spirits that's coming to raise his ugly head every once in a while, I said, we have power over that. So I said, we'll just kick him out in the name of Jesus. And so anyway, she said, what are we going to do? I said, just kneel here with me on the floor. So I got this other man and his wife to kneel there, and me and her, we knelt there on the floor, and I took authority. I went to the throne room of God. Did the Lord say, come into the throne of grace anytime I want to?
Boldly.
Yeah, boldly come in here. Tell me what you want. We'll get something done.
Boldly.
I mean, we're invited in to come in boldly. Don't come in like an old putty cat.
No.
You know, I mean, coming here like a lion, the tribe of the Lion of Judah, right?
That's right.
So anyway, we prayed. We took authority over each one of those different spirits, cast those things out. Asked the Lord to refill those spirits with the spirit of love, joy, and peace.
Yes. Amen.
We've done all those things. We finally got through praying. We got up and I stood up and I said, now things will change at your house, I guarantee it.
Yes.
That woman says, I've never heard a prayer like that in my life. I have a real problem believing that's going to change my husband. He's way off, and we're way down here. I said, but we're serving a God that can do exceedingly. And he hears prayer, does he not?
Yes, he does.
So if he can hear prayer and he can do exceedingly abundantly, he can take the woman that thought, if she just touched the hem of his garment, she thought, and she was instantly healed. What do you think he can do to us?
No.
Can he do something?
Yes.
So anyway, she said, well, I've never heard a prayer like that. So anyway, I left and went home. And about 2 months later, I get a letter. She said, sir, I really didn't believe that day that you were there, that you prayed for my husband, that it would make a change. But she said, when I got home, I had a brand new husband.
All right.
She said, he was not the same man. He's never been that wonderful man. He said, in the last 2 months, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen changes in such in my life. Said, everything in our house has changed. Said, my husband is the man I always wanted. He's the loving, sweet, kind man. And she said, I waited for a month or so to make sure this was going to hold. But she said, it's working every day. So she said, I didn't know your name or a phone number or nothing. So I went back to that place, a couple of hour drive, a couple hundred miles. I went back to that place where I met you, and I walked in, and that couple that lived there, I asked them, did they have your address? And they said, yes, they knew you. She said, can I have it? I've got to write him a letter. So she said, I want you to know what happened in the prayer that you prayed, how it changed my husband's life forever. Now then, if you realize you got that kind of power because of what he did on the cross,
amen.
Are you going to let the devil beat up on you?
No.
When people come in and say, oh, I'm so underprivileged, I don't have anything, I can't make no money, nothing I do turns out right. I say, well, are you going to church? Are you tithing? Oh, no, I ain't got no time and no money to tithe and go to church. I said, well, then get used to being broke because you're going to be broke the rest of your life. Who is it that gives you the power to get wealth?
Jesus.
It's the Lord. Of course, he's the one who gives you the power to get wealth. If you're not serving him, you think he's going to bless you?
No.
No, he's not going to bless you. Now then, you know, if you want to look to see what he can do, that's just like I told Mike. Mike's a man of God, and his wife's a woman of God. And I told him whenever he was coming here looking for a place to put in a shop, when I found out the man of God that he was and how he loved Jesus and how good he was and how honest he was, I told him, I said, Mike, I'll build you a building. I'll build you a building and let you use it. I said, you can use that building? And I said, all we got to do is pray. And I said, there's not another automotive shop in the whole metroplex that needs a place like Justin does. I said, they're building like crazy. I said, you'll be so busy you can't even begin. And I said, you won't even need the extra. I mean, you won't even need to advertise or nothing. I said, God will just bring this place and fill it up. And that's what he's done, hadn't he?
Amen.
He has brought in them work, and they treat people right and everything, and they got more stuff going on over there. I mean, they got cars everywhere, and they're keeping them. And in fact, I've been with several people. Me and Cheryl will be out to eat with somebody. Somebody said, my car's giving me trouble. The man we're with, he said, well, go tell him to go over to Mike's. Said, Thurman told me about Mike's. Tell him to go to Mike's. Man, I'm telling you, he said, he'll fix her car, and he'll fix it right. He'll do a good job for him. You don't have to worry about advertising. God will advertise for you. And so he keeps them busy. Every time Cheryl and I go over there to get something, there's so many cars all over the place, you can't get in and get out. So anyway, we're adding him on three more stalls over there right now. So we can't. The Lord's keeping him busy. But who do we serve?
Mighty Lord.
The wonderful, awesome God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine.
Thank you, Lord.
If you don't know who he is, you're going to be, technically speaking, Scripture says that everybody that doesn't love Jesus, may they be cursed. So you're going to be cursed all of your life. If you don't love Jesus, do you want to be cursed?
No.
I don't either. I want to be blessed.
Amen.
I want to be blessed. And God will bless you. I can tell you for sure, just like I got so tickled at that story I was telling you a while ago about the VP. When he told me the boilers had been down all night. When I asked the Lord what the problem was, he told me. That quick. I mean, I heard an audible voice when I asked the Lord what's the problem and thanked him for the answer. He said, son, your condensate is contaminated. Dump it. That easy. Those boys dumped that condensate. We fixed that right quick. Within 30 minutes or whatever, we had fresh, dry steam come into the building. Everything was working perfect. And I saw it working perfect. I told them what to do now. And they could finish it, and I walked back up to the office, and the VP came down to meet me. He said, Thurman, they tell me you've already got it fixed. I said, yeah, well, no problem, just a piece of cake. He said, how in the world? Everybody's been working on that all night. Think about this. Everybody in the place, the mechanics, the engineers, have been working on this all night, and nobody can fix it. But nobody knew Jesus.
Amen.
When the man walked in that knows Jesus, and he says, Lord, I need help. What did he get? He got help. Just like that. I mean, I got help just like that. And whenever I told them what the deal was, and they fixed it, when the VP said, well, what in the world? How did you find out? How did you fix it so quick? I said, it's real simple. I asked God for the answer, and he told me.
Amen.
He looked, he said, you did what? Now, you want to know why we got the problem we got? Because we don't know this God, do we, Barron? If you know him, you ask him. It's like when Barron, if he hadn't known him, and he'd have busted that knee out, he'd still have a busted leg. He might be able to walk on it, but he wouldn't be able to pick up thousands of pounds no more. Isn't that amazing?
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't it amazing? If you know the Lord, and especially when you know the one that can do so anytime anybody comes to you and says, well, we need to pull the pin out of the timing gear. Can you do that, Mike? No, I can't do that. I can't do nothing. I can't even breathe without him. But I know him who can. I know that God, and he lives in me. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for pulling that pen and showing me how to do it in that time of year. It's done in Jesus' name. Now I can pull that pen out, Pink. Just as easy, but without the help of God. Mike couldn't even pull a timing pen out of a timing gear. And you, although you may not know it, you fit into that same category. Everything you do needs his help. Without him, you can't take a breath. Without him, you can't open your mouth. You can't talk. You can't do anything. Without him, you are nothing. But with him, you are awesome. With you and Jesus together, man, you are awesome. I mean, you can do exceedingly, or he can do. You just along for the ride. Isn't that something, to be along for the ride? What does it feel like, Barron, to be along for the ride when he picked up 727 pounds in your body?
Pretty free.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Pretty awesome. I don't fight fair.
Yeah. Ain't that something? But if you didn't have him, you ain't got nothing. You got a broken leg. That's what you got. And you probably, that broken leg wouldn't even support your own weight. Would it?
It'd be a struggle.
Wow. So what we need to do, we need to learn to think big. Don't we, Mary? We need to think big. Don't ever think little. Because you serve a great, big, awesome God.
Amen.
What can God do, Debbie?
Anything
you can believe him for, right?
Right.
That's right. Here a while back, this young lady got an answer to prayer. It blew her away. But she has stepped out in faith, knowing that her God lives in her and he can do anything. And she and maybe her husband with her, I don't know how the deal went, but they prayed a prayer. And they got their answer, and it's totally changed their life forever. They had no idea. In fact, I got so tickled with Chad. He came up here the other day, he said, I need some money to work on my truck. I said, well, let's ask God to give you. How much you need? He said, $1,000. I said, well, let's ask him and thank him. And I think he said it wasn't just an hour or two. The money came in. Wasn't that right, Chad?
45 minutes.
45 minutes after it was prayed. The God that we serve. What can he do?
Exceedingly.
And what if we hadn't prayed? He wouldn't have got the money. You don't get nothing from God without prayer. And there's one thing that you want to learn to do too, is thanksgiving. When you pray with thanksgiving, and then send back and see the glory of God. And then, so, that's how that... I was amazed the first time. I have 40 years ago, I've had two hernias in my life. Two of those things. The first, 40 years ago, when I went to the hospital, and I had no pain. So it wasn't no emergency like this one was. The other day, this was an emergency. I was hurting. But this was the first one. I was about 40 years old. I went to the hospital. Let the guy check me. He examined me and everything, and he said, okay, yeah. Said, it's not too bad. But he said, do you do a lot of heavy work? And I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, then you need to have it fixed, because if it ever gets strangulated, I didn't know what that meant. That's where when you pick up something real heavy and you stretch all your muscles, your stomach muscles, and that intestine goes pushing through the hole in your intestine, goes into your bag and your gut or somewhere there, it gets all strangulated. Now you can't do nothing. You die sometimes in just a little while. So I said, well, if it's going to do that, I guess I better have it fixed. So anyway, he told me, said, okay, we'll do it 7 o'clock in the morning on next Monday morning. And he said, then you stay in the hospital 3 days, and then if you can get up and get around all this, and then you send you home. I said, I want to do it as an outpatient. See, back 40 years ago, when I was 40 years old, I was a young buck. I thought I was tougher than the world. I was pretty tough, because I knew Jesus. That makes all the difference in the world. So I could do a lot of things with Jesus, because I knew who I was in Christ. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'll do it as an outpatient. He said, oh, no, I don't do hernia surgery as an outpatient. I had no idea what it meant to do a hernia surgery, so I didn't understand. They cut you open, go in and fix all this stuff. So anyway, but I told him, I said, I want to do it as an outpatient. And he said, I tell you what, you are pretty healthy. You don't smoke, you don't drink. You're a perfect picture of health. So he said, I tell you what I'll do. When I get through with the surgery and you wake up, if you can get up off of the bed by yourself without any help and put your clothes on without any help, I'll let you go home. But if you can't do it by yourself, you're going to have to stay 2 or 3 days in the hospital. I said, okay, I'll do it. So when I woke up after they'd done the surgery, of course, I opened my eyes, I can see the ceiling, and I'm laying there, and I thought, okay, so the first thing I want to do is do this. Well, as soon as I started to do this, it stretched everything right here in my stomach muscles, and I thought, oh, that ain't going to work. I need to do something else. And so I laid back down, I rolled over on my side, drug my feet off, put my feet hit the floor, and then I stood up. I told Betty, I said, hand me that pair of blue jeans over there. She handed me the blue jeans, I put those things on. And whenever the doctor walked in a few minutes, I'm walking around in a room like this. He said, wow, you were serious, you're going home. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I have faith in God, Doc. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he told me that if I could believe, nothing would be impossible with me. Yep. Is that what he said?
Yes. Amen.
So what's the problem with us? We believe somebody else instead of the Word of God. So anyway, he said, okay, he said, here, take this bottle of pills with you. He said, about midnight tonight when the pain wears off, you're going to need these pills. I said, no, I ain't going to have no pain. I'm not going to have any pain. What does the Word of God say? He bore my pain?
Yes.
Do I believe that?
Yes.
I did back in those days. I believed it. I really believed it. So anyway, he said, I'll tell you what. I know what your faith is higher than you think. So he said, tonight about midnight, whenever that morphine I put in you wears off, you're going to be screaming you need some relief. And so he said, I ain't letting you go home without taking this bottle of pills with you. I said, okay, give me the pills. I don't have to take them. I took those pills and put them in my coat pocket, and we walked out the door. We went home, and I sat around, lay down for a while. And Betty, she came to me, and she said, you want one of these pain pills? I said, no. I said, I'm going to have no pain. The Lord's Word said, I'm going to have no pain. Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say, if I believe it with my
heart,
I can have it.
Right.
Is that what he said?
That's right.
So I ain't going to have no pain. So anyway, that night I go to bed about midnight. I wake up the next morning. Betty said, you want one of these pain pills? I said, no, I have not one single pain in my body, not one.
Amen.
And we went through that whole thing. And the doctor said, come back in 2 weeks and we'll see how what you look like. Well, I told him, I said, oh, he didn't get this, but I said, Doc, I'm going to go back to work in a week. He didn't even hear that. That was so far over his head, he didn't even register. So anyway, the next Monday morning, I packed my suitcase. I had a little bag of stuff, and I was a regional engineer for the Marriott Corporation, and I had a project going on in Kansas City, and I had to be there. So I was on an early flight that morning, and I flew up to Kansas City. And then one week exactly to the day from the day I had the surgery, I'm walking down the dock in Kansas City. And I had not had one single pain all week long.
Amen.
No pain or nothing. I'm driving my vehicle and everything. So anyway, another week later, I'm really good. And I mean, I'm really strong. So I come back to the doctor. He told me to come back and see me in 2 weeks. So I said, okay. So in that 2 weeks, I went back to see him. When I went back in 2 weeks, he looked at it and he said, wow. He said, am I getting good? I said, what do you mean? He said, man, there's not hardly even a scar where I did that surgery. He said, that's so good. I just, boy, said, I'm really getting good at this surgery stuff. I said, Doc, it ain't you. It's Jesus and my faith that's making this work. So he said, wow. He said, I'll tell you what. I realized that one more week is only going to be half as long as I told you you had to be out. But he said, if you come back in another week and you're still in this good of shape, I'll let you go back to work in 4 weeks instead of six. I said, Doc, I went back to work last week. He said, you went to work last week? I said, yes. He said, How do you do this?
Jesus.
By faith in who?
Jesus.
And when you read the word and believe it, then you can do it.
That's right.
Because, anyway, I come back in a couple of weeks and he checked me and he said, I never seen nobody like you. He said, you know, you don't even have a scar. And I really don't. They done that one on the left side. And I don't even have a scar. Jesus took the scar completely away. In fact, the one on the right now, I didn't have that kind of faith for this one. But I did say I don't want any painkiller. I don't want any painkiller. I didn't realize until after about day three that they're putting painkiller in my medicine, in my IV all the time.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't do anything with that except claim the scripture that no deadly poison will hurt me. But I couldn't do anything else about that. But when I was in control, when I went home without any medication. And I know for sure, because I was able to put what I wanted to in my own body. And I know I did not take any painkiller for that whole time. And I did that as an outpatient. So now if you have faith and believe, what can you do according to God's word?
Anything.
That's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you only believe with no doubt in your heart, you will be able to do anything, because you've been introduced to the God that can do exceedingly above all you can think or imagine.
According to the power.
So how much of that power do we need in us?
All.
We need it all. How do you get it in there?
Reading the word.
Amen?
Amen.
What time is it? Praise the Lord. This week, remember, you know that God. He went to the cross for you.
Yeah,
he arose again on the third day for you, so that you can live that wonderful, awesome life, so we can do exceedingly abundantly above all. Nothing is impossible with God in you if you believe. But you got to believe. He's no respecter of persons. You got to believe.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. I need my prayer team to stand up. You need to be prayed for. These are the folks you'll need with the prayer team. And remember that next Saturday is the healing school. We have a healing school next Saturday. We want to get everybody healed. And remember, all you got to do is to get somebody healed is to remit their sins, cast out the demon, and lay your hands on them and command their body to be healed in Jesus' name. And their body will heal.
Amen.
It will heal supernaturally. Just like all these that Cheryl and I prayed for on the internet, and just like my own body. As we're praying over my own body, God is supernaturally healing this body so I can continue to be used for Him, for His glory. So, praise. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there. And remember, how much rain are we asking for this week?
4 inches.
4 inches. Lord, thank you for 4 inches of good, beautiful, soft rain. We want you to really water the trees and the shrubs and the plants and flowers and everything. And we thank you for the 4 inches of beautiful rain in the next few days. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. If you don't need anything, you're dismissed. If you don't, if you want to get some CDs or DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you want, but do something good for Jesus this week. Don't do nothing. Do something. Remember, even if you're down, you can still pray. Right?
Right.
Do something for Jesus. Okay, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.